Hi, everyone. Welcome to Bridal Scene Show number 21. I'm Robert Allen.
And I'm Holly Ehrlich.
Hi, Holly.
Hey, Robert.
Congratulations on being 21. It's our 21st Bridal Scene podcast. We're legal now.
When we were younger, we were legal younger.
18.
Right. And then they changed it when we were in college, I think.
Right. Now it's 21. So we're 21 episodes into Bridal Scene, and we're very excited. And we have a really great show lined up for you today.
We speak with Allison Berlin, fashion and style expert, founder of Style Made Simple. She's going to help all of you learn what you should pack for the best vacation, your honeymoon, some great getaway styles. And we also speak with Stephanie Peterson, author of The Kiss Guide to Planning a Wedding, and she's going to help you have the wedding you want.
And then I sat down with Craig Michaels, who's the author of 30 to Wife, a fabulous book chronicling his last 30 days as a single man. Really a fun read, and we sat down with Craig. And we also have some original PodSafe music coming up that you can listen to. And before we get started, I wanted to welcome a new sponsor to Bridal Scene, and we're very excited to have the Cayman Islands as part of our Bridal Scene family. For couples looking to plan an exotic island wedding, the Cayman Islands offer something few destinations can match: exquisite natural beauty infused with civility and commitment. Whether you're planning a grand, sophisticated church wedding for 200 or an intimate beachfront ceremony for two, Grand Cayman, Little Cayman, and Cayman Brac afford the locations, activities, and attractions to make your big day larger than life. And with an impressive host of wedding professionals ready to help you with everything from floral arrangements to legal requirements, tying the knot in this corner of the Caribbean couldn't be easier. Visit www.caymanislands.ky for more details, and we'll have a link to that website in our show notes as well. And I know, Holly, you've been spending a lot of time on that website lately.
The photographs are absolutely beautiful. It is the most romantic turquoise blue water. I wish I was there right now. There is no question in my mind that the Cayman Islands creates a beautiful backdrop for fantastic pictures. One of my favorite parts of the website was Romantic Cayman on the top bar. And then if you look at their photo gallery of the wedding albums, let me tell you, we know that every couple has their own unique story. But Cayman truly customizes your wedding with the planners that they have on staff. And
it's pretty amazing that an island destination like that has so many wedding resources.
And right, they're coming from all over the country that are going to the Cayman Islands and the Caribbean. Because I read most of these stories, and I encourage you, because all of the photographs are so fabulous and are inspiring. Yeah, I do.
I'm going to have to check it out myself.
No, I do. But welcome, Cayman Islands. Hooray, it's time for the honeymoon. I loved getting ready.
My favorite part of the wedding.
I loved getting ready for our honeymoon. I went with my mother shopping, and she said, "You must have your trousseau." Does anyone say that anymore?
What's a trousseau?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's because I actually have the definition right here, by chance.
Go ahead, because I have no clue what a trousseau is. Nor do I know how to spell it.
Well, you don't know how to spell. That's a problem.
Well, you don't have to. Apparently, a lot of people don't know how to spell because there are spell checkers in every piece of software.
Can we tell everybody that I write the show notes? Oh, it's not always correct.
But wait a sec. Okay. It's close.
Okay, fine. Trousseau is a French, from Old French, a diminutive of trousse, a bundle. See truss. The possessions, such as clothing and linens, that a bride assembles for her marriage. So, her marriage starts the clothes.
Use it
on the honeymoon. And not only did I buy, everything was well chosen.
Don't tell me what you bought.
Matter. But you know what? Allison Berlin's going to tell you, because she's a celebrity stylist. I met her and both Stephanie, who's coming up from Ladies Who Launch, my networking group that I even have a meeting at tomorrow night. I'm so excited about going. We'll have a link to Ladies Who Launch and a link to Allison Berlin's stylemadesimple.net. But Allison is going to help you tell you the must-haves of your honeymoon packing. So listen up.
Well, I've been in the fashion industry for almost 10 years, so I've gained a lot of experience in different areas of the marketplace, which I've been very excited to bring into a personal level and help my individual clients. Because as you know, it's It's very rewarding to have that personal attention that it's very hard to receive these days, that you think is only for celebrities or, you know, people with tons of money. And so I started Style Made Simple, which is the solution for the everyday man or woman who wants to look and feel their best. I cater to their lifestyle and their needs. So I'm really helping building their natural confidence, which goes a very long way.
Well, our listeners are very lucky then today. And what we're going to discuss, Allison, today is about some honeymoon getaway styles. Because yes. We know after planning a wedding, it is as wonderful as it can be. It is exhausting and tiring.
Absolutely.
And then the bride and groom, especially I think the groom, but the bride and groom are really looking forward to their honeymoon. And I know that Allison will be able to tell everyone out there that as first vacation, as husband and wife, you want to look fabulous. And we know that Allison can help give you some great advice on how to make it a fun and easier experience. Allison and I were discussing that there are different kinds of honeymoons that our couples may go on. And one of them may be a relaxing tropical getaway. What would you say that are some of the must-haves?
Well, of course, when you're going to hit the beach and you're going to hit the tropics, you want a drop-dead bikini. And some of the great ways to find that are doing something bright, something colorful, maybe a Hawaiian print, something that your new husband hasn't seen before. And that's what a lot of this wardrobing is about, is getting yourself a little something new that he hasn't seen. So you're always feeling a little sexy and you have a surprise. So some of the resources that I like for a great bikini is J. Crew, because they allow you to mix and match different tops and bottoms, which I find is a challenge with most women. Another designer is Malia Mills, and she also allows you to do that as well, mixing and matching. And, you know, go for a little embellishment, get a little sparkle, get a little color, just do something a little bit different because this is special.
And do you think they should also, are there some pretty cover-ups out there as well?
Cover-ups are important. You don't want to be wearing your gym t-shirt all of a sudden over your fabulous bikini. So, and also you don't necessarily want to walk from the beach to the hotel in your bikini. So, we love things like 60s retro print sarongs that easily tie around the waist, and you can also tie it around as a halter. A 60s print would be great. And also, you see a lot of lightweight cotton embellished tunics that easily throw over your bathing suit and you can wear later with a cute pair of shorts or jeans. So it's very versatile.
And then what would you say would be some great accessories for, the bride?
You need a big, chic, floppy hat so you stay protected in the sun, an oversized pair of plastic sunglasses so you feel like the movie star that you are, prolong the celebrity status. Chunky bangles and great dangly earrings are all fabulous accessories to wear on an island somewhere.
That sounds great. Now, what if for the evenings, you know, like a special night out as your husband and wife, what do you think are some of the must-haves?
You've got to have a sexy dress, and you want to show a little bit of skin, a little shoulder, a little neck, a little leg. And again, it's about getting a little something new that he hasn't seen before. A spaghetti strap cotton empire dress would be great. Diane von Furstenberg makes some great dresses. Anthropology has a lot of floor length.
It's one of my favorite shops.
Halter dresses that have wonderful prints and very retro inspiring.
And good price, very well priced.
Very well priced.
You get a lot of look for the money.
You do, and you get a lot of style for the money. And then BCBG and Laundry and a lot of brands like that are doing little white dresses that are very hot for spring, and that reminds you a little bit of the big day, so you can have a nice casual version of your wedding dress and still feel the special wedding moment.
That sounds great. And what about the groom? What should he have for the beach or his special night out?
Well, his special night out, he's just bought a tuxedo probably, but he should also buy a new suit because he should look just as sharp as his bride. And a dark suit, not something black, but something that he can easily mix and match, the trousers with a printed shirt and the jacket with a pair of jeans.
And definitely, I think the men should definitely bring a jacket because sometimes there are certain, you may have a special restaurant that requires that. I think that's probably one piece that a man should definitely...
He should absolutely bring a sport jacket with him.
Whether he wears it with his jeans
or
his loafers or whatever.
He can make it casual.
If he brings
the trouser,
he
can dress it up, absolutely.
And then another, obviously, there are other couples that may go on a different kind of honeymoon, like a sightseeing, an adventure type destination. What do you think that woman should have?
Easy packable pieces, including the ubiquitous cargo short that is out there in a lot of great forms, the long Bermuda short. These are easy to walk around in, still look good and put together, feel comfortable. You pair that with an embellished tank. Club Monaco is making some great pieces like that, which also are very affordable and easy to pack and give you a little bit of a safari adventurous look.
What about swimwear? For the man?
For the man, he needs to buy a new pair of swim trunks because chances are he hasn't bought new trunks since college. And
so he may need a little help.
He needs a little help.
Not only from you, from his new wife.
Right.
She could help, a little bit.
She needs to prod him. He's not patient. He doesn't want to deal with this. So an easy way to get all of the elements, like a great new pair of swim trunks, some cargo shorts or pants, new polo shirts, and maybe a piece of linen to feel very island sexy, is at jcrew.com. They have just about everything. And you can go online and click everything that you think he needs, because he probably does if you think that he does, and just pack him up and go.
Now, I know when I got married, I wanted to make sure I had a few special under things, some special, special intimate apparel. What are your suggestions?
I call it knock 'em dead lingerie. And what you have to take a moment...
Watch out, guys.
What you have to take a moment to put some thought into is a great lingerie set that you can wear under a wrap dress or a little dress that you're wearing out at night, so you know that there's something special on there.
A little something.
Maybe a lace bustier and matching thong would be great. It's modern, it's sexy, and it gives you a little bit of sweet with a little bit of risque, and you know it's under there, so...
Are there any special places or any special things that you like in particular that you could recommend? Other than, I know Victoria's Secret always has some wonderful
Victoria's
styles.
Secret has great pieces. Cosabella has great pieces. If you want to really go on the high end, La Perla for something very special. And then also for something funky and fun, Betsy Johnson has a lingerie line, which is absolutely adorable.
Well, now I think our couples need to know how they should maximize their packing, because I know that could be stressful. I know it's stressful for me,
yes,
because I overpack all the time. I know I personally had so many pairs of shoes that it was ridiculous. I know that my husband could not believe how many pairs of shoes I took. I find it very overwhelming and stressful. I would think that you should pack. How far in advance would you recommend packing?
I would try to pack a couple of weeks before, because that week before your wedding, you are crazy and running around doing a million things trying to prepare. So give yourself a couple moments, a couple weeks before, to get everything together. And the key thing is to not overpack, which most people do. You want to get the most mileage out of the pieces that you're bringing. So the trick to that is putting outfits together in advance so that you can see how things can mix and match. And that is the key, is mixing and matching. And also you bring a couple of dresses to wear out in the evening, which cuts down on the number of evening pieces that you need. Also, your groom should bring the suit that he can mix and match. You want to limit your shoes. I know that is challenging for women out there.
Well, what do you recommend then?
I would recommend a great pair of sneakers, walking shoes, which you can wear on the plane. They're bulky, but you don't have to put them in the suitcase. Then you want a great pair of evening shoes, a fun wedge, which you can wear casually out at night and during the day,
and
a little sandal.
And flip-flops. I mean,
get a pair of flip-flops.
I think that if you want to take two pair of flip-flops, the Wedding Podcast Network gives you permission. Because
Holly has overruled me. You're not allowed to pick two pairs of flip-flops.
And I am not the fashion advisor. I am not the expert. But I do know that when it comes to flip-flops, I know I could have something that's really sparkly, and then I could have just my beach.
The beach flip-flop.
The beach flip-flop.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, thanks. I'm glad.
And then you want to make sure that he brings a pair of dress shoes to wear with that suit so that he's appropriately dressed.
I know Banana Republic has some, great shoes also. That's also one of my favorite stores.
Banana Republic has a great, easy selection for men.
Great. And what other, when you're packing, then I think of some other things that we definitely should tell our couples about. Because, whether it be about skincare and some extra accessories, I know they're two different things, but why don't you fill us in on that?
It's all about protecting your skin during your vacation. That is the number one priority. So you need to bring your SPF 20 or higher. You need to bring a great pair of aviator sunglasses, which are great for travel. Ray-Ban makes the classic ones. You want to bring maybe something like a Jergens Natural Glow Moisturizer, which enhances your tan and gives you a little bit of a sparkle. You want to take care of your skin. And so it's important to bring all these things. And it's also important to put them in plastic Ziploc bags when you throw them in your suitcase.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So that it doesn't spill all over and stain anything.
That's an excellent idea. Share with us some more accessory ideas, because I know also women, that's something also I overpack as well. I always take too many earrings, too many bracelets. And when I've been advised when I travel that I should not take that much with me. But I know that I also like to mix and match my accessories. So what are your suggestions?
You don't want to bring too many of any accessory. You want to bring a great canvas tote or straw bag to wear around during the day. You can throw everything in there. You don't have to worry about it. And it goes from beach to town, which is great. In terms of jewelry, you want to bring a couple of dangly fun pair of earrings, a pair of hoops, a pair of chandelier earrings. And that's all you need. Some fun bangles as well. All you need. And then, of course, you have your spectacular engagement ring that you're going to show off everywhere.
Everybody. And I'm saying, I'm a wife.
And leave the jewelry in the hotel room in the safe when you're running around during the day or you're at the beach. Don't pile it
on to go to the beach.
You don't want to lose it. You don't want it to get damaged.
You know, I love to work out. And I think that's something that everyone out there is, it's part of their routine. And even though a honeymoon is a departure from our routine, and it is time to just enjoy one another and be swept in the romance of it all, but we want to still keep in shape, and we also still have to get into that bikini every day.
Absolutely.
So I think that I would want my workout clothes. So what do you think?
After you spent a couple months at bridal boot camp, you do want to keep up your figure. And if you have the energy, that's fantastic to keep it going, keep the routine going. Bring a couple of cute gym outfits, some hardtail spandex pants, a printed tank top. Bring two of these outfits and then rotate them so you can send one to the hotel laundry while you're using the other one. Don't spend a lot of time bringing a workout wardrobe.
Okay, so Two outfits is enough. Because I was just even thinking, I know if I wanted to take a run on the beach, whether it be during sunrise or sunset, that would be a really great, you would want those clothes as well.
Absolutely.
You know, Robert, our 15th wedding anniversary is coming up.
It is?
Actually, we have an anniversary that's coming up before that.
Let me write it down.
Wait, you know when our anniversary is, darling. Okay? And let me tell you something.
She only uses darling when she's very angry at me.
Darling. I'm not angry. I love you. First of all, we have a first anniversary. Let's tell everybody.
Yes. The first anniversary of the official launch of Wedding Podcast Network is this month, and we're very, very excited about all we've accomplished over the last year. And we're closing in on our 70th episode that will be up online.
So if you're a new listener, just know it's all in the archives for you to listen to since our very, very first podcast.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We have some listener feedback coming later on in the show, but it's funny. One of the things that I've spoken with, you know, with our listeners is always wanting to find out how they listen. And I just spoke to two brides not too long ago who are listeners, and they said they downloaded everything, every show, to their iPod, and they just kind of pick and choose stuff instead of like the last episodes, because, you know, it's all good information.
It's not dated.
Yeah. We try and keep our information fresh and evergreen. So, you know, if you are a new listener, if you're newly engaged, congratulations, first of all, and make sure you check out our incredible archives of shows that we have.
There's so much wealth of information. And then the second anniversary, which is like my most favorite anniversary of all anniversaries, is going to be our 15th wedding anniversary, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. And I crave a sunny beach vacation. Sweetheart?
Yes. Hint, hint.
And if I had a pack over, I would make believe I was going on my honeymoon all over again.
Well, the only thing that I worry about when I pack is my gadgets, my electronics, my iPod and my phone and that kind of stuff.
We have to get to the airport extra early, okay? I have my passport now. Exactly. I'm ready to go.
And, you know, so what we always like to do is we always like to bring you some original music that you can load up onto your iPod or other portable device. And it's all PodSafe music, so you can go and get it and download it. And
I like
at a very reasonable cost. And, you know, it's really important to support artists that are producing work like this. And we're excited that we can bring you new music. And today's song that we've got is a song because we picked it. I picked it, actually, because it's my birthday month, March. And
happy birthday, Robert.
Thank you. And it's the song is called Today's a Good Day to Be Alive by Michael Dimitri. And we hope you enjoy it. We'll have a link to Michael in the show notes. Here's Today's a Good Day to Be Alive.
Did you ever have a day when things ain't going right and you don't know what to do? Then out of nowhere, magically, comes a ray of light shining bright on you. You don't feel richer and you don't feel poorer, but it makes your heart feel a little surer. Today's a good day to be alive, safe and warm, feeling deep inside. If I could, I'd take you for a ride. Today's a good day. Not have all the things that you desire, but don't let it get you down. You got what it takes to fly much higher. There's no one else like you around. Stand up straighter and stand up taller. Don't push your dreams back any longer. Today's a good day to be alive, safe and warm, feeling deep inside. If I could, I'd take you for a ride. Today's a good day.
We all know getting married can be a frustrating business.
No.
And being engaged is a lot of work. Being married is a lot of work, but being engaged is a lot of work.
Being married is more work than getting married.
Okay.
That's my official position on things. I don't want to scare anybody, but it doesn't get easier. It gets harder.
Well, because we've also made it 15 years.
Right.
I mean,
it doesn't just happen. It doesn't come easy.
No, but you know what?
But it's worth it.
It is worth it.
It's
you know
worth
why?
Every moment.
You know why?
Because of those two
he's
people
looking
running
into my
around
eyes.
In the house?
No, they're doing their homework now. It's okay. But you know why? Because you are my best friend. And you know what? And you really do listen to me most of the time. Communication is key. I don't care if I say this in every single time we are on air. Okay? Talking is key. Listening to each other is key. Being together, enjoying being together. We spend a lot of time together.
What'd you say? I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
You're such a fun. I love your sense of humor anyway. You make me laugh. Mm. You make me smile.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being mine.
Right. No problem.
Anyways, we were talking about being engaged, a lot of work, and apparently so is marriage. And but it's also a great opportunity to have a lot of fun. And I have to tell you, after speaking with Stephanie, I was much more relaxed after reading her book, because presenting this segment, because this Kiss Guide to Planning a Wedding, the KISS means Keep It Simple series, smooch. There's a lot of information packed into this colorful book, and there's definitions and trivia and internet resources.
It's an easy read. It's an enjoyable read.
It's really good, and it's a great resource book to use.
Right. It's one of those books that you'll kind of go back to and refer to.
It's just fun. Yeah. But we asked Stephanie, why did she even write this book about weddings?
I got married in 1993 after a one-month engagement, and I was looking around for a book or books or magazines to help me. And I found a lot. There were a lot out there, but nothing seemed right. Everything seemed bossy, old-fashioned, formal. I felt talked down to. I felt that if I didn't do it a certain way, I would be looked down on. My wedding would be seen as tacky. It just didn't seem fun. And it seemed like such a chore. It seemed anxiety filled. I needed something that was going to hold my hand. I wanted something that was going to make me happy and look forward to this great day. So I wanted to give the same thing to other brides and grooms.
Well, you cited that there is often a power struggle between the shoulds and the wants. Give us some examples of that.
Well, it starts at the very beginning. What kind of wedding do we want? What do I want? I'm the bride. What do you want? You're the groom. What does my mother want? What does the groom's mother want? What kind of weddings are my friends having? What do I feel like I should have to impress them? Should I be worrying about impressing people? And it just snowballs from there.
Well, when you planned your wedding, how did you handle that? You know, the shoulds and the wants. Did you have a lot of that?
A lot. A great deal.
Because I'm assuming this book came a lot from your personal experience.
It really did.
Not only from looking at magazines and hearing what other people expected of you, right? But also, you know, you had a certain vision, I'm assuming, also for this wedding day.
So, I did.
You know, tell us even a little bit about your wedding, because that'll give us some more insight into how probably this all came to fruition.
I never saw myself getting married. It just is not something.
You mean a wedding?
I never saw myself actually as a person getting married. So I never grew up having a vision of a wedding. But when my husband proposed and I accepted, I all of a sudden had to start thinking about what I wanted. And what I wanted was a party. I wanted something very relaxed, very fun, something with all my best friends and closest family members. What I didn't want was something enormous. I didn't want something formal. I didn't want people there I didn't know well. My husband was pretty much on board. He wanted the same things.
So you were ahead of the game.
Completely ahead of the game. His family, however, was very traditional, very Italian Catholic. They had weddings, every single one of them, at a specific hall in Staten Island, a very specific way. The bride wore a specific kind of dress. They all wore a specific kind of headdress, even. Very, very, very specific, and they all did it. And
was this imposed upon you? Did you feel pressure?
I did.
To follow suit?
I did. And fortunately, my husband stood up and ran interference.
Lucky.
Very lucky, because a lot of women don't have that.
Well, that's you know, this partner is going to be good.
And I think that is actually the greatest thing about planning a wedding, is it's an opportunity to test out your partner. Even if you've been living together for 2 years, you don't know what your partner is like under pressure until you get engaged. You see a side of him and his in-laws that you don't get to see before that. It's really, really a terrific learning experience. And it's also a terrific way to learn to work together. And it was for us, too. It was for us, too.
Well, because you're absolutely right. Planning a wedding is really not just the bride anymore.
Mm-mm.
Right? It's a whole bunch of people giving their opinions and expressing it, really quite vocally.
Very. And, you know, I question as to whether the weddings were really ever about the bride. In the olden days, they were, you know, getting this young woman together with this young man, a good match for maybe a tribe or a family. A little bit later, the mother-in-law and her, maybe the aunts, planned the wedding, and the bride would kind of just show up. I think that's a more recent phenomenon.
Or even just moms planning their bride's wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still center, sometimes center stage.
It's very
true.
Although
roles have changed. I mean, the roles have changed.
And thank goodness.
So, yes, thank goodness. But you think, so what would you tell brides? I mean, with the shoulds and the wants, and you're saying you feel they're so dictated to, how do you escape that?
Right. You know, let me tell you the wedding I did have. It ended up being a midnight wedding at a restaurant called the Cowgirl Hall of Fame downtown, which friends owned.
Here in Manhattan.
Here in Manhattan, yeah. And there were only, maybe 60 guests. 60 people.
So you ended up having the smaller party that you wanted to have.
Very small.
And a lot of that was based on the communication.
Yes.
You know, up front.
Yes.
So you did have the wedding of your dreams. Tell me more about your wedding.
It was small. It was fun. Everyone helped plan it, not just me, not just my husband. Friends were involved planning. We had friends involved with the photography, finding photographers. We enlisted everyone we could to find the best team. We created a team, and we let them do what they were good at. And it was really a wonderful experience.
So how do you think brides can make their weddings more personal and unique?
I think the first step is knowing what you want. And the second step is knowing what you don't want. Because if you don't know what you don't want, you can get talked into a lot of things by in-laws, by parents, by maybe a wedding planner, or maybe you just don't know, so you go along. So know what you don't want. And third, be strong. You have to have a bit of a backbone, because people are always going to be challenging you. And it is, you know, it's your day. It's also your husband's day. So that would be my fourth point. Let your husband have some say. It's his day, too.
That's good advice.
Yeah, and if he's involved and he's getting what he wants, he'll be much more likely to help out. Because a lot of brides complain that they're doing it all themselves, and then they maybe turn into a bridezilla or whatnot.
Well, if they are both involved in the planning, what have you found? Like, have there been certain responsibilities that you find that are better suited?
I think men love to, and this is a gross generalization, excuse me, perhaps, but I find men like to plan vacations, or the men I know. So I let my husband do that. My husband likes to decorate a lot. So I let him plan the decorations for the restaurant. I know that not all men like that. So I would suggest finding out what your guy does like to do. In the book, we talk about sitting down with a list of things that need to be done and just saying, okay, what do you want to do? What do you absolutely not want to do? And I'll do it. And just divvy everything up.
So responsibilities are shared.
Oh my gosh.
And everyone knows what they have to do.
Yeah.
And the process could be a little smoother.
A lot smoother.
A lot smoother.
And there's not all that bickering and the emotional turmoil when you both know that each one is working on the same project. One person's not carrying the entire load, and the person who's not carrying the load feels also bad because they feel like the person in charge is planning something without him or her.
Well, you know, actually, this does fit here. You know, like I said earlier, there are these great spotlights within the book, highlights, and one of them is trivia. And I think that this would be a good time to actually cite this one that was in the pre-wedding freakouts chapter. where you wrote, John Gottman, PhD, author of the much lauded Why Marriages Succeed or Fail, has studied thousands of successful long-term marriages. Among his findings, he discovered that the happiest partners are those who exhibit fondness and admiration for each other, solve all conflicts possible, and create shared goals. So that's very powerful. That's very, but very true.
And you
wouldn't you say that?
Oh my god.
Because how many years are you married?
It will be 14 on Valentine's Day.
And I'm going to be 15 in March. So a month later, exactly, March 14th.
Wow.
Same
yeah.
to you. So we're testimonial to it, right?
I think
that those are very I think that's accurate.
Yeah,
right?
And you get to see that right now during this planning stage.
That's also that pre-wedding engagement time, because it really is, you find out a lot about each other.
You do. You really do. And you just really get to learn about each other in a really interesting way.
What about, I'm sure through the years you've picked up some great insider wedding tips. Could you share some with us?
Well, my favorite tip is don't invite your father's or your father-in-law's business associates. Don't invite anyone that you haven't seen in 4 years. I think some of these weddings get so large that that stresses us out.
So you have to have a reason why someone is there. I mean, there has.
Oh my God! You totally. And it has to be better than it's going to help business.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Well, you actually even talked about that in the pre-wedding freakout section as well, about dealing with nasty makers. And I thought that was, because it's really all about keeping you cool. And it's not always so easy, because losing your temper, you know, makes things worse. But you're dealing with parents and then future in-laws and your friends. So, you know, what is your advice here with the pre-wedding freakouts?
Well, take a deep breath and don't do anything that's going to make you look like a bridezilla. Take a deep breath. Don't do anything that's going to cause permanent damage to either a friendship or a family relationship or anything. And then approach things with kindness. You know, you're dealing maybe with a mother or an in-law who wants you to do something that you don't want to do. Use kindness, but you don't need to give in. Same thing maybe with a friend who's jealous that you're married and she's not, or maybe a sister. I have had a sister, which I actually talk about in the book, and we laugh about this now, but she got my husband and I in the car, and we were driving to another town to a restaurant, and she was very anti-marriage, and so about 5 minutes into the car trip, she started, "Oh, marriage, why do you want to do this? And marriage is this, and da-da-da." And she kept going. And this went on for 20 minutes, and we were held hostage in the car. And it took her about 10 years, but she apologized. And, you know, we just treated her with kindness, and we understood that that's where she was coming from. And you just have to let it roll dead and back. You know, Aunt Martha is going to complain about this, no matter what you do, but it's your wedding, so you're still going to have a DJ. Even though she hates the idea and wants you to have a string quartet, if you want a DJ, it's your wedding.
You know what I find really unbelievable is that people actually say these things out loud.
Oh, they do. They do.
You know, are there any ins and outs, you know, that whether it comes to announcements or invitations or the parties or the presents? Like, because I find that that's a big part of that. From engagement to wedding is everything that's going on. Is there anything that's something that bride should focus on when it comes to those elements?
I personally think brides are starting to do a little bit too much. I know not everyone agrees with me, but you have some of these brides and grooms will have three parties maybe right before the wedding. I'd cut a few of those out and save yourself some stress. Save yourself some
money.
Save yourself some money. Do yourself a favor. Save yourself some money. Just really make a point to enjoy the time you have.
It goes very, very fast. It goes very fast. And then you're starting your lives together. I love you have so many fantastic internet sources also cited within the book. Do you have a few favorites that you could share with us?
You know, I love some of the funny ones, like, and this probably won't be too helpful to brides, although I suggest all brides go and look, like uglydress.com.
I've seen that one.
Oh, a posting of bridesmaids' dresses.
It's funny.
It is hilarious.
It is really funny. Actually, it'll take the edge off. Oh, it's it, where, you know what, brides will. Should go check that out. Because that's also, you need a little humor.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, I love, go to any of those money sites like Motley Fool or any of those when you're planning your wedding before you just dump a load of money in a place maybe you shouldn't. Do some...
A little bit of homework.
Oh, my gosh. Totally do some.
Before.
You know, everyone goes to theknot.com. You know, go and look. Look at what everyone else is looking at.
Well, their boards are really good, fun to read because I think the brides are sharing.
They really are.
What's going on. And a lot of what we talked about today comes out,
yeah.
You know, and says, and I think a lot of brides coming full circle really feel pressure when they do read these magazines or they do see these celebrity weddings that they need to keep up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I also know that there are brides should follow their pleasures. You know, it should be a day about their desires and that will be gratifying to them. And that's really the message that we want to make sure brides know. I really enjoyed talking to Stephanie because she's very passionate about doing it your way. Not too many couples really do it their way. They're dictated.
They feel the
by
pressure.
By what other people do, what families do.
Right. Everyone feels the pressure.
And the magazines, what they say. But she's, you know, it's like ridiculous to put your parents into debt and trying to keep up with Mr. and Mrs. Jones.
Right.
You know, you should have the type of wedding you want to have, not like everybody else. And it's really
it's difficult, though. But God, that's why you have a groom.
Weddings are big business, right. and
to help you.
It all should be to help you and to inspire you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's really one of the most challenging things that you'll go through on so many different levels, from, you know, coming together as a couple, you know, planning this huge party, bringing your families together. It really is a challenge. And I think women weather the storm better than men for some reason. Men aren't used to dealing with such emotional issues, I think, as women are.
But, you know, no matter how it comes down to it, it should be a reflection of your personality and the couple's personality. You know, and whatever it may be, whether it be only one detail or 100 details.
Don't be afraid to go for it, to really express yourself.
But if you want a small party, you should have a small party. If you want a fairy tale wedding, then you should have a fairy tale wedding. If you want a destination wedding, you should have a destination wedding. And make it your own.
Right. Because otherwise you'll just have regrets afterwards, I think. Just do it your way. I got a chance to sit down with Craig Michaels, who has been on the network before. He's done a Grooms with a View with us, and he's the author of 30 to Wife, which chronicles his 30 days prior to walking down the aisle. And he's a really great guy and really great information, and I always enjoy sitting down and talking with Craig.
Craig, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
You know, there were so many things that, you know, involve us guys in terms of the wedding that I thought we'd have to have you back here for another segment on the bridal scene so that we could get more information. You know, we are the forgotten half of this equation, as you know.
But essential.
Essential. It can't happen without us.
It can't.
Even though I do like the Jerry Seinfeld joke of that's why guys all dressed alike at the wedding.
Just in case.
You know, so if like the groom doesn't, you know, we just move one over to the left and just the next guy comes into the place, you know, but we are essential.
We are. I told my brother, who was my best man, that his job is to replace me if for some reason I don't show up.
To step in and take over the responsibilities. And that's what we wanted to talk about today is that, you know, there are some things that we're probably better suited for in the planning process that may make it easier for us to integrate into this.
Or that the bride should try to poke and prod to leverage and bait and switch, I guess.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, let's talk about some of the things that we might be well suited for. You know, I think in terms of what I've experienced with couples certainly is, you know, guys are involved definitely in choosing music and, you know, whether it's a band or a DJ. What was your involvement in the wedding and kind of the music end of it?
Well, we got married separately. We got married in Las Vegas, so we had to travel there and do all the sorts of picking and choosing and stuff like that. So it was a little bit of a whirlwind tour, but we did listen to a bunch of bands and talk to promoters and try to get a sense of things. And so definitely I was involved with all of that.
Yeah, and that is, you know, that's something certainly that can be accomplished on the internet. You know, there's a lot of, you know, music companies, whether they be DJ companies or bands, have demo material on the internet.
Oh, yeah. You just listen to it wherever you want, at work, at home. And you just basically use your iTunes library as a good source to start. And
right.
You could build your playlist and kind of pre-plan everything and listen through the whole process
right,
before
right.
you even get to the DJ.
Right. And I think in terms of thinking about what would be good jobs for a groom, they are kind of technical, you know, and myself, and I know you're a self-professed geek, and you know, it kind of, you know, makes it easier if it is, if you are a technical person, then use that to your advantage in the planning process and utilizing the internet.
Absolutely. It's just, you get hooked on one aspect of it technically, whether it's the music or the website or the podcast to your guests, mm-hmm. that just keeping them up to date. And what happens is you get wrapped up in the technical aspects. You want to produce more content or pick other things because of the technology. And all of a sudden you start asking questions about other related wedding topics. And all of a sudden you're interacting with the bride about those topics, and you're making decisions and you're writing about the decisions. And guess what? You're planning your wedding.
Right, right. And it's just kind of coming at it from a different angle than our brides would be coming at it from. But we still find ourselves, we're getting integrated into the process just from our own little entranceway in there.
Take advantage of the simplicity of
right.
man.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But you mentioned just a second ago about websites online. I think it's a really great idea for a couple to have a wedding website. Do you agree?
Absolutely. It helps announce things. It gets people to know all about the details, the ins and outs, from directions to travel tips to who else is going, and keeping things going beyond. And so you have your wedding, and then you go from more of an I do type of approach to a we share.
Right.
And so you can use that as the starting point for all the photos, the video clips, or those that don't make it to YouTube. You can
right.
put it onto your site.
Exactly. And it's a great way to get the word out there, the information to your guests. And I think, you know, guys may be, you know, pretty well suited to start up a wedding website.
Take the charge. I mean, what it does is also brings the community together before you even get to the wedding. So in many cases, when you have a destination wedding, everyone's together for a couple of days. But in cases where it's not, or even so, it kind of bridges the network and creates the scene before you even get to the ceremony.
Right.
And so people could interact, people could discuss, and you all of a sudden you're building content and you're talking about it and you're sharing, and it's just a wonderful opportunity to bridge people together.
Right. And it is, you know, you are bringing two families that don't know each other or may not know the bride if you're on the groom side or vice versa. It, you know, it is a great way to get people kind of up to speed as to what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. Whether they're down the block or across the world,
right.
getting people together, talking
yeah.
and sharing.
Right. And when you share your story as a couple, you know, there's something to be learned from every visitor, you know, that we'll see that. If someone's going to learn something about you that they didn't know before.
Right. And if you're smart, you wrapped up into a wedding day quiz based on what's on the website, and
uh-huh.
you could give
exactly.
some bonus favors for that.
Sure. If you have a rehearsal dinner or something like that, you could turn that into a little bit of a contest. That's a great idea. Now, another thing in talking about technology, and I know they didn't have this available when I got married, because this would have been my thing. When couples register, because that's another thing that I think grooms can be involved in, because registering for gifts has changed completely from just, you know, even 5 or 10 years ago. Now you get to go register and you get to use those barcode readers.
Oh, it's just like a game. You're
yeah.
pointing and clicking, you're shooting, and all of a sudden you come home and you realize, I just shot a dozen stemwares.
Right. It is kind of funny, and I kind of wish that I could do that. Whenever we're at a store that caters to couples registering, you always see, you know, the guy's holding that little barcode scanner, and the girl's got the list, and, you know, just the guy's shooting different things there. Were you involved in the
registry? I was a shooter, so I was very happy
shooter.
To do that. So, yes.
You were the shooter. Now, did you find that when you were registering, that you were registering for things that you hadn't thought about as being typically wedding gifts?
Definitely. And I think what's happened is, you know, I got married a little later. I'm probably more of the average age is creeping up to 27, 28 years old and such. And so in many cases, the couples are coming in, either one or both of them, with – most of the things that used to be what was essential for a registry, mm-hmm. whether it's tableware or linens or bath products and those types of things. And so now all of a sudden, folks are coming together and, well, we already have this. So what else could we get? And so maybe it would be fine china and glasses and such. Mm-hmm. But other folks are looking a little more creatively. Maybe what could we put in the living room? What could we put in our media room? You know, maybe we could help put a down payment on the house, mm-hmm. or pay for the honeymoon.
Right.
And all those types of things are coming to front and center, and it's becoming very acceptable for that type of a registry.
Right. And, you know, it's funny. I was just thinking about that as you were talking about those things. You know, I think that it took some time for the guests to get comfortable with the idea that, you know, your gift may just be a component of a bigger gift. You know, you never really kind of thought in those terms. You know, you would want to walk through the door, you know, holding a box of whatever it is and give it to, you know, the couple as the gift. But now it's kind of changed. You know, you can have people put money towards a down payment on a house. Are there different resources that, you know, couples can use to do those types of things?
Tons of stuff are online. And so you have to maybe be a little creative with either the stores you go to or the search terms. But a lot of folks, whether it's from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, maintains a site that has information about which banks allow you to contribute to that type of a fund. REI has a registry. Mm-hmm. Amazon has a registry, so that's a great spot too to build things up through Amazon, because it's tons of stuff that they offer.
Right.
In fact,
I think, you know, that's, you know, as a guest, you know, in thinking about it, I think the reason that has been so accepted and embraced is the fact that, you know, you're really doing this and putting money towards something that a couple really wants and may really need. And I think in a lot of ways that can bring even more satisfaction than, you know, the four wine goblets that might never be used. But, you know, if you knew that you helped them, you know, buy a house, that means a whole lot more.
It does, but don't over or underestimate the power of the wine goblets and such. So for my registry, we did get that, and we're very happy for that. But also, I would say more off-registry was with my groomsmen. I kind of prodded them to offer up some Best Buy gift certificates. Uh-huh. So I could honestly say that maybe for each of my groomsmen, about 10 square inches of my TV represents their contribution to the fund.
Now, do they demand certain rights if there's a particular
Super Bowls,
game on?
Oscars, World Series,
and
yes.
Does that, you know, get them a preferred seat in front of said TV?
That's still a first come, first serve.
Oh, okay,
they do know the rules,
but so. They get the invite.
Yeah, and it's funny when I finally broke the news, good or bad, to my wife to be about what was happening behind the scenes. She took it in stride, and I took her to Best Buy to show the TVs and let her help pick it out, so at least she feels involved with it. And I knew what I was getting from my groomsmen, and so I kind of had a budget in mind.
Uh-huh.
And so when we walked into the big TV section, I kind of stopped at a nice big but still modest-sized ones, and she went straight to the one with its own zip code and was like, okay, this is what we're getting. And I was, well, wait, no, we can't really afford that yet. And she says, why not? We'll just put more money into it. Don't you want something big and great? And I realized that is why I love her.
Right.
So,
and one of the reasons.
That's one of the
many
reasons.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Now, you know, since we spoke last, there have been, you know, some exciting things happening with you. You're involved in a great new online venture.
That's right.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, Oxygen Networks is building essentially a MySpace for women. So it's a really big, broad social networking site for women and men to get together to share all sorts of discussions and connections and friend making and tip sharing and those types of things. And so they asked me to anchor the wedding section. And so I'm running a twice or three times a week blog called The Hitching Post. And it's available now on Oomph. That's OOMPH.net.
Great.
And we'll
have a link to that in the show notes.
Awesome. And it's just a great place. The community is just starting to build, and they're going to put a lot of marketing and advertising against it through their TV networks and such. And I think it's just going to be a fun place for people to share and talk and dish.
Cool. And it's, you know, again, you know, one of these new kind of social, online social gathering places where people, you know, with different expertise in different phases of life get to share that with readers.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, there's all sorts of these social networks coming up, from the broadest to the niches of niches types of things. And this kind of fits nicely in between those, where it's a good resting place for lots of folks that will have contributors from all sorts of topics coming in, not just weddings, but relationships, cooking, fads, all sorts of stuff.
Great. Well, I am certainly excited by the notion that an entity like Oxygen chose a guy to head up the wedding portion of this. I think it's really, it says a lot about where we are in society. It says a lot about you as an author and an expert. And we really wish you a lot of success with that new venture, in addition to what you've already got going on, which is your groom411.com website, which is lots of really fabulous information there. I encourage our listeners to visit, as well as this really fabulous book, 30 to Wife, which is chronicles your 30 days prior to walking down the aisle.
That's right.
And it's fun to read. It's humorous. I found myself laughing quite a bit. And considering I do quite a bit of reading in the bathroom, my wife, Holly, didn't know what was going on in there when she heard the giggles through the door. So I encourage everyone who's listening to pick up a copy of your book, 30 to Wife, and we'll have a link for that as well. Craig Michaels, creator of groom411.com, now on Oomph, which I don't know. What does Oomph actually mean? Do we know?
Exuberance, excitement.
All those things.
All those things.
You can add your own label to that. Craig, thank you so much for taking the time sitting down with us again. We always enjoy when you're here.
Well, thank you.
We have gotten some terrific feedback lately via email.
Yeah.
And I really encourage you all to write in or call us, which we'll give you all that info later. But I got to tell you, we got one from this woman from Iowa State. She's getting married in November, and she's a graduate student in Iowa State, working on her PhD in psychology. And she said her favorite podcast is probably Meet the Masters. She's loved the shows when we go to the fashion shows and talk to the bridal gown right. designers afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Then she says it's very helpful. Full and informative. She listened to the show where Ramona Kavesha was interviewed and then happened to try on one of her gowns when she was wedding shopping. It was great to know about her inspiration and philosophy about wedding gowns. I've really enjoyed the alter ego and alteration segments with Michelle and Henry Roth. Very fun to listen to. You're listening, Henry and Michelle? Okay, because we are the biggest fans of them and we think they're very fun to listen to. Well, so does this graduate student in Iowa. She listens, actually, in her car most of the time with her iPod. And then we got another really great email from Ruth, who lives in Northern Ireland. She lives in Belfast. She is getting married.
Did it say there one?
Oh, she's getting married in a couple of months.
Yeah, come
to
on.
To Rob. Hey, a Rob, like you. And she's getting married in her home church, then heading to a local rugby club to have a barbecue reception. And
it must, sounds cool.
Well, actually, I asked her to do a newlywed cast, and she said, oh, you know, it might be so expensive. And I said, I don't care what the cost, because I think this is so cool that we could bring like a whole worldwide opportunity to everybody.
Well, it's interesting. You know, our main listener base is in the United States, but about, I would say about 20%. Or so of our listeners are international.
Well,
which is kind of cool.
We have an upcoming podcast, actually, with Elle of our wedaholic.com. She's on our links page.
Yep.
She has a great blog, and it's really terrific. I even recommend.
She's in the UK.
She's in the UK. We're going to do an interview with her. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people, whether you're having a destination wedding or you just want the flavor of what's going on
right.
somewhere else, you want to bring that here?
Yeah, you really just, you know, you get that full flavor.
You know, do something a little
flavor.
Different. Or maybe you're marrying someone from Ireland or from England and you're having something here. And you may know from their family, but it'd be really cool to listen to other people in the wedding right. industry writing blogs about
well,
it.
That's certainly one of the trends that we talk about with a number of the masters that are on the network in terms of bringing your culture into the wedding. Maybe through food or through music or what you wear.
Well, we really hope that if they come away with one cool new idea, right, that, you know, you're ahead of the game.
Absolutely.
But also what Ruth wanted, we had asked, what would you like to hear more about? And that's another thing. Please write in your suggestions and ideas and recommendations. So she wrote, you know, the idea of how to get in-laws connecting well, not only with the bride and groom, but with each other, would be of help. Even the idea of how to include in-laws in the wedding planning, who may live quite a bit away. It's been something I've been trying to work out recently and would love some input or advice on the issue. So I'm thinking, I wrote back to her and I said, you know what? Our newest show, Here Come the Moms, is all about that. So we just actually, not long ago, had our premiere episode of Here Come the Moms with Sharon Naylor.
She's and a great author.
I co-host 30, that with her. 30 wedding planning books and more to come. Right. She's so involved in the wedding industry, and she has an incredible handle on this specific area of the mother of the bride and the mother of the groom.
Right. So I definitely encourage you to listen to that.
Here Come the Moms. And then we had another Planet Bride Part 3 of Alterations in Your Alter Ego. So you must hear that wrap up.
Right. With Ruth.
About that.
New York.
And we had then three other shows that went on. So five shows went online since our last bridal scene that you and I.
Yeah, great Meet the Masters with Monica Hickey.
Oh, Doyenne of bridal dressing. And she was from, right, Bendel's, Bergdorf's, Saks, Kleinfeld's, Vera Wang. She dressed for her wedding.
Such a great lady. Really such a great lady. And, you know, she like oozes wedding. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
And people really listen to her. She has a
really
definite, what would you call that?
It's kind of an air about her.
Yes.
I think it's the English accent. Get me one of those.
And then we have a great newlywed cast with Erica of Paper Bride.
Paper Bride.
And she actually just posted, right, on WeddingBee.com and her Bridalicious.
Right, and it's really, and she's so great.
And she's a great story because it's a destination wedding in Palm Desert, California. And I'll tell you, there's also great resources in our show notes as well. And then we had one other show, which was also a terrific talk with Sue Fleming, author of Buff Brides, on our wedding workout program. So, you know,
gotten a lot of downloads. That's a lot.
It has.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, people, that's one of the biggest things is and losing weight.
Fitness. Oh, and you know what? And also coming up, which should be on, you know, within a few days of this podcast, we got another email, which I don't think we have here, about the couple that wanted that we should concentrate on older couples. Remember we got that email?
Yeah.
Saying, why don't we focus on any? Well, we have a couple, a really great couple coming up on a newlywed cast, Hyella and Jack, who were married in New York at the Essex House.
And she worked with a really great planner that you know.
Kristen Manolis.
Really lovely.
Was instrumental in making that a success.
But those photos that I saw, that wedding looked
beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they did some really
grand, actually.
Original things. So look out for that newlywed cast with Hyella and Jack coming up.
For couples looking to plan an exotic island wedding, the Cayman Islands offers something few destinations can match. Exquisite natural beauty infused with civility and commitment. Whether you're planning a grand, sophisticated church wedding for 200 or an intimate beachfront ceremony for two, Grand Cayman, Little Cayman, and Cayman Brac afford the locations, activities, and attractions to make your big day larger than life. And with an impressive host of wedding professionals ready to help you with everything from floral arrangements to legal requirements, tying the knot in this corner of the Caribbean couldn't be easier. Visit www.caymanislands.ky for more details.
And, of course, we'll have a link to that in our show notes. Again, we love your feedback, so make sure that you drop us an email. Our email address is feedback@thewpn.com. That's feedback@thewpn.com. And we also have a toll-free listener hotline, which is 800-882-1259. You can leave us a voicemail there, and maybe we'll play part of that on a future show. We appreciate you listening. It wouldn't be as much fun without our really fabulous listeners tuning in and giving us feedback, so make sure that you do that. You've been listening to Bridal Scene Show number 21. I'm Robert Allen.
I'm Holly Ehrlich.
And we'll see you next time.